If you've got your Bibles, and you should have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. That's the Old Testament. Exodus chapter number 14. Say amen when you have it. Now, it shouldn't be too hard to find. All right. Exodus chapter 14. And Miss Danielle Myers is going to start at verse number 1, and she's going to skip a little bit. Miss Danielle, would you tell them what verse you're going to read, and then as you skip, okay? So we're going to start from verses 1 through 7, then 9 through 11. There we go. All right.
Okay, I'm reading verse 1 through 7 right now. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Phi-Hairoth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his armies, that the Egyptians know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. Now I'm reading verse 9 through 11. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Phi-Hairoth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?" And now I'm reading 13 through 18. Oops. Where'd it go? Oh. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all of his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen."
Amen. Thank you, Danielle. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you need to be moving forward in and with the Lord." Tell your other neighbor that. Neighbor, in. You need to be moving forward in and with the Lord. You need to be moving forward in and with the Lord. I'm going to say it one more time. I need to be moving forward in and with the Lord. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, to you. Amen? Now, I'm going Old Testament here, but I found out something, is that what the Old Testament does is that it reveals things to the New Testament. But using the Old Testament, the Old Testament uses examples in the natural that reveals things in the spirit from the New Testament. Amen? Now, what it was the children of Israel, they were in bondage. All right? And they were in bondage for 400 years. The children of Israel were on this journey from the bondage of slavery. And they went through the wilderness, and into the promised land. All right? They were in bondage to Pharaoh for 400 years. When they first came down, it was only 70 of them, but they multiplied. And a Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph. And so this Pharaoh decided that, well, now the way in which they're multiplying, if they keep on doing like they're doing, they will be more than us. So what this Pharaoh did is he decided that, well, what we're going to do is we're going to put them in slavery and put them in bonds. But it seemed as if the more that they afflicted them, the more that they multiplied. So much so that they figured, okay, well, we really got to do something. But God's people went from bondage, get a hold of this now, to the wilderness, traveling in the wilderness, to the promised land. Now, what happens in the Old Testament also happens in the New Testament spiritually. We here today, we're either in bondage to sin, or we're traveling in this wilderness, if you will, where we're trying to decide, now, am I going to follow God? Or am I going to do this my own way? Is it going to be about me, myself, and I? Or am I going to follow God? So a lot of us go back and forth and back and forth. But God wants to bring us to a place in Him. Not a physical place, but a state of mind, if you will, a freedom in Him, where we're right in His will. And this whole thing, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, we're on a journey. And God is constantly urging us to come forward with Him. No matter where you are, He's urging you to come forward with Him. Where you are right now is not really where God wants you to be. The old folk used to say that there's always a deeper depth and a higher height. Some of y'all saints know what I'm talking about. All right, but there's always more in Him. And the Apostle Paul got a hold of this in the New Testament. And Apostle Paul said, I want to know Him. All the things that I've done, the places that I've been, the things that I've attained, Paul says that means, not, as a matter of fact, he began to testify in the middle of Philippians chapter 3. He said, I just want to know Him. I want to be intimately acquainted with Him. I want to come to a place in my life where I know the Lord, where I really, not about Him, come on now, but I really want to know Him. That know is an intimate acquaintance with Him. It is, if you will, the same way that Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Paul says, I want to know Him. I want to be so intimate. I want to be so close to Him that I get pregnant with the fruits of the Spirit, with all of Him. I just want to be close to Him. It's not about just going to heaven. I want to know God. Not about Him. I really, really want to know God. There's a passion with this thing. Not just coming to church. Not just memorizing scriptures, but we're on a journey, and God wants to bring us to a special place in Him and with Him on this journey. And there's always a deeper. There's always a more. There's always, come on, come on, come on. You come on, come on, come on. Yeah, you're doing good. You're doing good. But there's more. I got more for you. Come on. Where are you at in your journey? Where are you at? Are you still in bondage? Or you're still trying to do it your way? Or are you at the place where you say, God, like Paul, I just want the more of you, God. I really want the more of you, God. There's no settling point where I've reached a place where I'm fine now. I can rest. I can sit back. But I really want to get closer to you, God. Paul said that I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I really want to know what was involved in this thing, because the same power that dwells in you, now it dwells in me. So I really want to understand this thing. Am I talking too loud? Am I getting too excited already? You know, it's just. I really want to know him and the fellowship of his suffering. What did you go through to get me to where I am right now? What did you have to give up? Every time I want to sell it for short, tell me, Lord, let me understand what is involved in this thing when he raised you from the dead. There's power in it. You've got power in you. We're earthen vessels with this divine deposit on the inside of each one of us. Do you want to know him? Have you come to that point in your life, in this journey, where you say, Lord, I just want to know you. Not just about you, but I really, really want to know you, God. I want to know what love is. And I want you to show me. Come on here. It's more than just words, or it's more than just something you sing about, or you talk about on a Sunday morning. Or you flip the switch and it's on now, and then flip it. You know, it's Monday now, I can go back to business as usual. But I really, really want to know it. So, as God is dealing with the children of Israel, there's some things and some points that we can get from that. Because, as you know, we are right now a few weeks from looking on the border of 2017. God has brought us through 2016, and a whole lot of folk didn't make it to where we are now. And right now, we're just about on the border as we look off into a promised land, a promised time that God has not seen. We don't know what's it about over there. So as we stand on the tips of this 2016 now, on this part of our journey now, he's journeyed us through this year, and many of us have had some shortcomings, some problems, some failures, some setbacks, whatever you want to call it, but that's behind you now. We're almost on this border now, and the only way that we're going to be successful in 2017 is by knowing him. It doesn't matter what happens as long as I know him. As long as I keep moving forward to know him and to be known of him, to get close to him. And it doesn't matter. Hear me now. If we can just have the attitude that, Lord, through this thing that I'm going to go through in 2017, I just want to know you better. Come what may. Regardless what happens. Regardless how it happens. I'm not going to fall apart. I want to, hear this now, experientially know God. Not just academically, but I want to have an experience with you. I'm talking about a real friend to friend, a knowing, not just about you, but a friend to friend where we feel one another's heart, where if you got a need, I feel it with you. You hear me? So as we look at this scripture in Exodus chapter 14, we see God's people are on this journey. And just to bring us up, again, I've shared that what had happened was God's people were in bondage for 400 years. And they had been living a life of slavery, and they were overworked and underpaid. Kind of sound like See the reason why we ought to know God? Because the more things change, the more they remain the same. All right? But they had been pushed down and held back, and they had cried out to God. And God came to the point where he said, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to bring my people forward. I'm bringing my people forward. And God is saying that same thing. He that hath an ear, let him hear. It's not just back then. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just as he spoke to them, he's speaking to us right now. He says, move forward. So what God does is he uses brother Moses and has brother Moses to go to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Pharaoh didn't want to mind God. Mama used to say mind. So God had to make him mine. Pharaoh didn't end up letting God's people go. But as soon as he let them go, then pride kicked in. Pride said, wait a minute, they punked me. Oh, I'm sorry. They got over on me. It's the same thing. So I'm going to get them. I'm going to get you. So this is where we pick up in Exodus chapter 14, chapter 10. Could you come a little closer so I can just ease up in your seat? Not that close, y'all. Personal privacy. All right. Not that close, but just ease up a little bit, all right? So in Exodus chapter 14, here's what we have. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. If we're going to go forth in 2017, we cannot allow fear to stop us from moving forward. You hear what I'm saying? Because fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you from going to the next level. Fear will keep you right where you are. All right? Fear, that's the first thing that will stop us from moving forward. Your circumstances, we can look at our circumstances, and that's what they did. They saw the Red Sea in front of them. They saw the mountains on either side. As a matter of fact, it was not militarily intelligent to do and to go where they were. They had mountains on each side of them and the Red Sea in front of them. It didn't make sense. But no, God told Moses to go that way. So there's many times and many points God will allow us to get in certain situations just to bring out more in you and in me. Well, wait a minute, God, I'm following you. Why am I, what? This don't make sense. And many times we could be fighting against God because either God wants to work something in you or work something out of you. And we have to watch out now because our own decisions can place us in those places. But when we're following God and we know that God told us to do it, God's getting ready to set me and you up. Amen? But fear can stop us from going where we need to go in God. Amen? And it was the mountains on either side. And what fear does is fear corrodes our confidence in God. Listen to what fear does. Fear will give us the perception that we've lost control, and it will shape the very way we live. And when we get the perception that we've lost control, what we began to do is we began to look for safety and security. And in effect, safety becomes our God. Because I don't like feeling like this. I don't like being in this situation. Let me run to a place where I feel secure within myself. And it'll stop us from moving forward. Now, God can bring you to the situation, and you can fight the situation by going to a place where you feel secure, where you feel safe. Amen? So we have to watch out and not allow fear. And what fear does is fear will do just like the Egyptians did. The Egyptians wanted to come back to get them, to put them back into bondage. So if we're going to move forward in 2017, we've got to shake off the fear and not allow fear to rule and reign over our lives. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 shares with us that God has not given us, oh, come on, say it like you mean it, but of power, love. Now, that last one is a little debatable, but God gave it to us, though. Amen. Some of us, we got to claim it by faith, but amen, he still gave it. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at the next verse in verse 11. Exodus 14, 11. We're just going to traverse the terrain of this text, if you don't mind.
chapter 14, verse 11, Brother Dukes. Then they said to Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? They wanted to hold on to what was behind them, and they wanted to go back. Get a hold of this now. If we're going to go forward in God, it's hard to go forward in God when we're holding on to the past. I'll say it again. It's hard to go forward with God if we're still holding on to the things in the past. You've heard of the illustration of the windshield, the reason that you have a windshield on a car that's so large, and the rearview mirror inside the car that's so small. The reason is that you don't want the rearview mirror to block where you're going in the future. We use the rearview mirror only as a reference point. It's very difficult to drive going forward, and we're looking at the rearview mirror. And see, that illustration is, it's hard to continue going forward and you're still thinking about what happened in the past. You're still holding on to stuff that happened in the past. Not wanting to let go of some hurts, some mistakes, some pains, some problems. There are some folk that's in the past that might have hurt you, but in order to go on with God, we gotta let that go. We gotta let some habits go in 2016. If we're gonna be successful in moving forward into 2017, we've got to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, when are you gonna let it go? Pastor Sam, is that your baby? They said, let it go. I'm frozen. You got to let it go. But as long as we continue to want to hold on to it, we'll take a couple steps. Well, I'm really going to get past this. And we have a desire, but we're not letting it go. Just think of how many folk we can end up hurting coming towards us if we're holding on to stuff from the past. Let it go. Let it go. And then forgiving yourself and letting it go. There's a lot of times that we've done some things that we won't forgive ourselves. Let it go. All right? Let's move on down here. Verse number 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone? This is the children of Israel talking to Moses. We told you, Mo, leave us alone. We don't want to go. We've gotten used to this bondage in 400 years. We told you, now you brought us to this place. Weren't there graves in Egypt? There's a tendency, if we're not careful, to just give up. Just wanting to give up. I've had it. Got the Popeye the Sailor Man anointing. I've had alls I can stands. I can't stands no more. So I'm just giving up. I'm giving up. And it's easy to get to that point. But we don't want to do that. We need to keep moving forward in him and with him. Amen? Look at the next verse here. Verse number 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, Moses said, shut up. Sometimes we got to tell our own self. Now, I didn't say it to you, but tell your own self. Because your self will begin to look at the negatives, and you got to speak to yourself. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she kept saying to herself, if I just touch Jesus, I'll be healed. But in reverse, we have to tell ourselves many times, just be quiet. Stand still. Stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to work it out the way in which you think it ought to be worked out. Stop trying to change your husband the way you think it ought to be. Or stop trying to change your wife the way you think she ought to be. Stand still. Stand. Stop all of the hurried frenzy and just rest in him. Stand still. We're so used to doing. We're so used to making. We're so used to trying. But do you not know, I heard you say this one time, Bishop, that you can get more done in 5 minutes with the Lord than you can get done a whole day just trying to do it yourself. Stand still. If we're going to be successful in 2017, there's some things that we've got to do. Amen? Let's go on to the next. Stand still. Go down to verse number 15. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." I'm telling you. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Now that go forward is a movement in faith now. And now get a hold of this. He told them to go forward before he even did the miracle. He told them to move even before the miracle was done. Because your movement shows that, Lord, I trust you. Lord, if you said it, I'm going to do it. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I'm going to act and I'm going to take you at your word, Lord. So I'm going to move. I'm going to move. Amen? Regardless if I don't see the children saved yet, I'm still going to take you at your word, Lord. If I don't see the manifestation of the healing in my body, I'm still going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to go forward, even though I don't feel like it. Even though I don't see it, I'm going to just take you at your word. Amen? Moving on. He says, move forward. And then God says, what I want you to do is I want you to stretch out your arm and then stretch out your staff. There's many times what I've seen what God will do is he will stretch us. He'll stretch you. That person on the job. Could be God is using that to stretch you. Your husband, your wife. He's stretching you. Amen? Those amens are kind of weak there. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel will go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 17. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now see, you thought I was just saying that. That many times God will place us in a place that he wants to get the glory through your life. In other words, he wants to make you a testimony, a living epistle. He wants to use your life, use this situation, that he can get the glory out of it. Are we letting him? Are we letting him? So God wants us to go forward in 2017. Move forward. Move forward. We move forward by not allowing ourselves to stay in fear, not letting go of the past, and then resisting the urge to give up. We move forward by trusting God and resisting the urge to handle things on our own. We move forward in faith by allowing God to stretch us. And then we move forward by seeing ourselves as a living testimony. Now the question is, can I get everybody to stand to your feet? The question on the altar of your hearts today is, will you move forward? Let's not allow 2017 to come around and we're still in the same place of our spiritual journey as we are here today. It ought to be everybody's mindset to grow closer to him, to want to know him, to want to be used by him, to want to be a living testimony for him. It's more than just words. It's a way of life. God is calling us. He's calling us. He's calling us deeper. I'll bring it home. He's calling you and me. Are we going to heed the call? Or are we just going to continue business as usual? But as time winds down, there's a demand that's being placed on our lives. There's folk that need to see and need to hear a living word testimony. That you know him and you want to make him known. Just lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, before this year comes in, we rededicate ourselves to you again and afresh. And Lord, we want to move forward in you. As Jesus said, we want to be about our Father's business. Minister to us and minister through us, dear God. Help us to make this our own personal proclamation that I was created to make something or someone better, Lord. Each day that we arise, each night that we go to bed, Lord, allow us to look back and see that, Lord, you've moved and ministered through me. That's the goal. That's the determination. And Lord, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up, Lord. You've done too much for us to throw in the towel. You've raised us, Lord, and you've saved us, and you've kept us, Lord. You've given us a testimony in and of our own, Lord. When we were sick, Lord, you healed. When the enemy tried to take us out, oh God, it was your hand of mercy that kept us, Lord. So, Lord, we've got a testimony. And, Lord, we're not just going to keep it to ourselves. We want to move forward, Lord. We want to move forward, Lord, doing your will and being called by you, Lord. That you be glorified in and through our lives. You get the glory, Lord. You get the glory, Lord. You get all the glory, and we praise you for it. And the saints of God said, amen. Amen. Amen.